This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Joseph Sternberg, member of the editorial board for The Wall Street Journal, is based in London. He writes political economics, and we go to economics and politics right away with an editorial in The Wall Street Journal in these last hours. The Ways and Means Committee of the Democrat-dominated House draft tax increase that leaked over the weekend is a $2.2 trillion Washington money grab for the ages. That's the Wall Street Journal editorial page. The details are numbing, overwhelming. And I go to Joe because I got stuck when I read how of all the tax hikes in this draft, there is one tax cut missing. However, it is said to be fundamental to gaining the votes of the large blue state members. It is the cap put on state and local taxes in 2017. Without that cap being lifted, this bill will not pass. However, Joe, that's just my opinion because I live next to a large tax state and I live in a large tax state. What do you make of this $2.2 trillion tax hike, theoretically, to pay for the stimulus bill that hasn't yet passed in the House and Senate?
Well, I think that it is good that someone is finally starting to put a price tag on all of this, which I think is an important first point not to lose sight of here, because, I mean, you have to remember that the Democrats, the Biden administration and Democrats in Congress have for months and months and months been talking about all of the things that they wanted to spend money on while they were being mysteriously silent about where they thought all of that money was going to come from. So, I mean, this means finally we can have a sensible conversation about all of those spending plans, because now we can couple it with this discussion about where that revenue is supposed to come from that would allegedly or not make it all affordable. And that allows you to start making some trade-offs. And I mean, the kind of trade-off that we have to be thinking about is, or the kind of subsidies that they want to offer for green cars, you know, electric vehicles or green energy or the like, is that worth the big tax increases that their plan is going to foist on individuals or small businesses? And, you know, I think that there's a reason we're discovering why the Democrats held off on having this conversation, because they presumably are worried that once people see the details, they are going to discover that the burden of this is not going to fall only on the rich and big corporations. It is going to go well into the ranks of the middle class and the small businesses.
I read from the editorial about the small businesses and the tax hike. The House proposal will hit small businesses that pay taxes through the individual code especially hard. They'll pay the higher individual rates, including a new 3.8% surtax on small business income. And they'll pay more of their income because the Democratic proposal eliminates the 20% deduction on qualified business income. That deduction was designed to equalize the tax burden for pass-through and subchapter S companies with corporations, C corporations. Now it will vanish for individual business owners who make more than $400,000. Joe, $400,000 describes almost all small business in America. And therefore, this isn't about taxing the rich, which we never really paid that much attention to because it's just rhetoric. But this is about taxing businesses, small businesses, that are the bulk of the hiring and the innovation in America. They're going after it. So I want to get to your opinion about why they're doing this. What is the ambition to raise taxes on everyone and at the same time claim this is going to help our growth? Why, Joe?
Because that's where the money is. This has always been the problem that progressives in America don't want to talk about when they talk about these tax and spending plans. So, I mean, first off, there is a real sleight of hand at work here, because they always talk about how these tax increases are only going to affect households with an income of more than $400,000 or $500,000. I mean, first off, note that I think that they are reducing
the threshold for that highest rate in the leaked plan that we've got. And the other thing that they don't talk about is that, sure, so if you're an individual or even a married couple who is, has an income above $400,000 a year, you're pretty well off, okay? The problem is that a lot of people who are filing tax returns at that level of income on the individual side of the tax code are not actually wealthy. They are small business owners who are filing taxes on behalf of their business through the personal side of the code. And that is a very, very important distinction and helps explain why the Democrats are doing this. Because the problem with trying to tax rich individuals is that they have the resources available either to legally reduce their tax burden by the use of various loopholes and other entirely legal provisions of the tax code that Democratic and Republican lawmakers write into it, or they can move. And so particularly if you're talking about increasing taxes in ways that will make the America less competitive compared to other countries, the wealthy people often have the option of moving somewhere else and, you know, starting to manage their tax bills that way. Small businesses in the middle class can't do that. And so that's always why the revenue raisers need to go that way. And Europe does exactly the same thing to pay for its welfare state that, you know, progressives like Bernie Sanders or Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez want to introduce into America. I mean, the thing that Europeans do is they charge the consumption tax, the value-added tax, or VAT, which in a place like the UK or Germany is adding 20% of tax to the cost of everything that a middle-class person buys in a store, and that's what you have to do to pay for this all. So this is a long overdue discussion to be having about some of these spending ambitions to understand how precisely it is going to hit the middle class once you get to the tax portion.
I want to also emphasize, Joe, that they're talking about raising taxes on corporations, but as the Wall Street Journal says very bluntly, corporations don't pay taxes. That would mean that the burden would fall on the employees or lack of hiring. So, again, I back up and look at this. The Democrats are proposing to raise taxes. They're proposing that this will lead to prosperity or eventually lead to prosperity. They're also looking to pay for their large stimulus package that they haven't passed yet. What does this mean for the recovery? Can we measure that? Or do we have to follow that old proverb, let's pass it so we find out what's in it? Is this going forward in the dark, Joe?
Well, it's going to be very difficult for anyone to understand or make an educated guess about the precise economic impacts of bills like these, just because they are so sprawling and there are so many moving parts. And a big part of the mischief that you always end up with is the unintended interactions between different bits of it that you only see once it's in effect how it's going to work out. So yeah, you're going to have to pass it to find out exactly what's in it. But you can make a general statement that we've got this problem where you have to mobilize all of the financial resources of the U.S. economy to generate economic growth and prosperity. That's always been the case. You have to figure out how are you going to get capital to the entrepreneurs who need it to pursue their business ideas, to create jobs, to create goods that people want to buy to improve everyone's standard of living. Does anyone really think that Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders or Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez or Nancy Pelosi or Chuck Schumer are better at making that kind of decision than an American small business owner? And I think that just posing that question helps you start understand what the economic consequences of this are going to be. The entire thrust of it is to extract resources from a private economy that knows what to do with those resources productively and hand them to the government that doesn't know how to use them wisely. And so we can ask ourselves just based on that principle whether we think this is really going to help economic growth.
I mention also, while we're getting the proposal from the Ways and Means Committee, that's in the future, what we have from the Wall Street Journal front page is inflation. However, there's a paradox here that I need Joe's help to solve. Inflation eased in August, though prices stayed high. Okay. And another headline just appearing, inflation begins to erase wage gains for low-pay workers. So, Joe, is it inflation or is it not? The consumer price index rose 5.3% from a year before as supplies and labors continue to drive up prices. That means the supply chain inflation we've talked about for months. So, is there inflation? Can we answer that simple question? Because I'm now lost.
Oh, of course there's inflation. I mean, this 5.3% inflation number, I mean, I really have to chuckle at the way people are trying to spin it, because without getting into which of the two of us, between you and me, John, is older than the other one, I think that we are both old enough to remember that time a few months ago when 5.3% annual inflation was a big deal. And it's kind of difficult to argue that it's not a big deal now just because it was 5.4% a month ago. And yet that seems to be what we're all supposed to believe. No, I mean, look, of course prices are continuing to go up. There's no particular sign that they're stopping. I mean, some items like travel and used cars, the prices are not rising as fast as they were earlier this year. That is being made up for by the fact that other prices are starting to go up. And if you start digging into any of these inflation data, like the increases on items like food and energy are just astounding. I mean, proteins like meat, poultry, eggs, those prices are up 8% compared to this time last year. The government's preferred basket of energy prices is up something like 25%, if I remember the release correctly, in the course of 1 year. I mean, these are real checks and credit card bills and cash that real households have to spend on a daily basis is going up and up and up. And I think this is a big political problem for Democrats who are going to have to explain why they want to pass all of this legislation that is only going to be throwing more expensive gasoline on that fire as households continue bearing the brunt of this inflation.
The Wall Street Journal has an article to calm us. When it comes to Federal Reserve interest rate policy, what inflation is doing now matters less than what it will be doing next spring. What inflation is doing now is running fairly high. This is Justin Layard from the Wall Street Journal, your newspaper. The Labor Department on Tuesday reported that its index of consumer prices rose a seasonally adjusted 0.3% in August from July, putting it at 5.3 above its year earlier level. Core prices, which exclude food and energy in an effort to better capture inflation's trend, were up 4% from a year earlier. However, they're telling us, Joe, that next summer will be okay. Is that how it works, that we're supposed to be calmed because next summer my price of cappuccino won't be going up 5.3%?
No, that should not be a reassuring message for two reasons. I mean, the first is that no one is seriously talking about this inflation reversing itself. So, I mean, when we talk about inflation moderating, we've now had quite a few months where the inflation has been 3, 4, above 5% year on year. So you see those prices going up. If inflation next month was zero, so if prices didn't change at all, from now to this time next month, the prices that you were paying for things are still going to be substantially higher than they were 6 months ago. So that is all baked in, and it is not going to reverse itself. And so then you basically have this waiting game where households have to kind of cross their fingers and hope for the best and hope that their wages eventually catch up to where the price level is. And there really isn't any indication that either of those things are happening right now. The inflation is not slowing down appreciably, and inflation-adjusted wages seem to be falling behind prices. So you should be worried about that. And then you also should be worried about this rosy scenario because the Fed's economists are consistently wrong in their guesses, their forecasts about what's going to happen in the future. this is a major problem. They should be kind of curious about why it is that their models are always so far off. But if you think that the Fed can accurately predict what inflation is going to be next spring, I'm sorry to tell you, they don't know. So they're kind of flying blind in terms of their estimate about what might happen in the future, while we all see very clearly that we're paying higher prices for things right now.
Joseph Sternberg, member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He's based in London. We're going to London again next because I understand it's raining. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batch.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.